Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the fourth Sunday in Lent comes from our Gospel reading of John, chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Old Testament reading tells us about the Israelites out in the wilderness. As usual, they grumble against God. We grumble too, don't we? We grumble about the weather. We grumble about daylight savings time, about our jobs, about our kids, about our spouse. We grumble about schoolwork or our chores at home. We grumble about the government, the laws, the erosion of our liberties, and the societal norms. Goodness, we grumble about everything. And sometimes that grumbling is justified. I dare say most of the time it isn't. But whatever the case, this grumbling is only a symptom of the greater problem that we and the Israelites had. We love the darkness. The Israelites grumbled. But it wasn't that they just grumbled about the difficulties that they were facing. That could be understood, if not actually condoned. But our text tells us that they spoke against God. And so it wasn't just that they were mad that they were out there in the wilderness, but they hated the fact that God had brought them out there. They hated the fact that they had been taken out of their cushy little lives back in Egypt as slaves. At least there had been food for their bellies and a roof over their head. Out there in the wilderness, they did not believe that God would or could provide for them. So they preferred the things of the known, the things of slavery, over the mysterious promises of God. In truth, they were angry that God was their God. And because of this, they despised him, Moses too, his prophet, and they fled the light. They ran full on back into the darkness, because the darkness, believe it or not, is comfortable to the sinner. We understand the darkness. We understand this blanket that shrouds us and our works. So the Lord sends fiery serpents upon them. That was their judgment, their condemnation. They spoke against God, set themselves up as enemies of him. They died because of it. And that's the lot of an enemy of God, death. But through God's killing law, they were brought to repentance. And through repentance, they were brought salvation. There was a bronze serpent that was lifted high up on a wooden stick. If bitten, the Israelites were to look to that serpent. And it wasn't that the bronze serpent had any power in and of itself to deliver salvation, but because the Lord deemed it good and right to bring salvation through it to them. Through this bronze serpent, God brought the cross and Jesus to the Israelites. And then we have our gospel reading for this morning. And we see that Jesus is the greater bronze serpent. He even says so. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus is what the bronze serpent of the Old Testament brought to the Israelites. Jesus is what saved those people. Jesus and his cross. It's the same for us today, too. Jesus does not bring condemnation. We heard that in our gospel reading, too. Sin and the law do that. Jesus, he brings salvation and grace and mercy. Jesus brings the cross. Jesus, he brings forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus brings. And that's a very important distinction to be made. Condemnation does not reside there in the cross. Jesus didn't come into our flesh so that he could ride around and mark people for condemnation. The Son of Man became incarnate, became one of us, so that he could be lifted up on the cross for the salvation of mankind, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. We don't need the cross to condemn us. The law does that in its fullness. Our thoughts and our words and our deeds, they do a phenomenal job bringing that condemnation of the law upon us. And our gospel reading also talks about light and darkness. This too is a very crucial and critical thing. It says the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. We are the ones that Jesus is talking about here. We and all of creation. We're the ones who love the darkness, the ones who do not come to the light, lest all of our wicked deeds be exposed. Because in and of ourselves, we'll just stay hidden away in that darkness. There are deeds, seemingly maybe the good ones that we think, and obviously the bad ones that we all know are bad. We think they can't be seen. The thing is, when they're brought into the light, and make no mistake about it, they will all be brought into the light. When that happens, each and every single one of them are exposed as the sin that they are, and we're condemned as sinners because of them. And so we hide away, thinking that the light cannot penetrate the darkness, pretending that we'll be safe in our little cave. We think that maybe, just maybe, if we stay away from the light, we won't be condemned. But that isn't how the light works, because it's not the light that condemns us. It's not Jesus who condemns us. It's our sin. The very darkness in which we reside condemns us. Jesus didn't come into this world to do this. We were condemned already. We were sitting in darkness long before Jesus ever took his first breath in his mother's arms. The law had already told us that we were unrighteous, evil, wicked people. The law had already proclaimed to us that we were enemies of God. The law had already declared to us that because of our sin, we deserved nothing but the eternal wrath and judgment of God. That's what the law still brings. It still shows us that we're sitting in darkness because of our wicked deeds. That's the purpose of the law. And it doesn't stop doing its job just because Jesus and his light has come into the world. Like I said, in and of ourselves, our works, all of them, they're still evil. No matter how grand or great or maybe even selfless they might be, apart from the light, they're still deeds done in darkness, diseased with sin, corrupted and wicked to the core. And so we too are condemned already. From the moment of conception, condemned. With every breath that we take, we are condemned, and we condemn ourselves even more. Every single bond that we break, we cover ourselves deeper and deeper in darkness. And yet, just like the Israelites in the wilderness, we do have hope. For the light of the world has come into the world. Just like the Israelites, we have the promise of life, the promise of salvation. The Israelites, for them, it was that serpent on a stick. That bronze serpent couldn't do anything by itself, though. God worked through it, brought his salvation through it, promised that the light of the world would come through it, provided them forgiveness of sins through it, gave them Jesus through it. For God so loved the world that sat in darkness, that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus, him lifted high up on the cross, just like that serpent in the wilderness, brings salvation to all who have faith and believe. But here too we must understand something. Faith is nothing in and of itself. Faith isn't what saves you, not in the strictest sense. It's the object of that faith. What that belief, what that faith is in, that's what saves you. Because the Israelites, they didn't believe that it was their faith that saved them from the fiery serpents. They clung in faith to God's promise, believing that it was God who saved them. And through this promise given to them, they were brought back into the light of God, the one who had saved them from slavery in Egypt. so too it is with all of us. If we're truly honest with ourselves, we realize that we do love the darkness. We realize that we would much rather grumble against God and detest Him for being our God. We would rather remain enslaved to sin and death and the devil. For these things are the things that the sinner loves. We can't hope to bring ourselves out of the darkness any more than the Israelites could have hoped to heal themselves once bitten from those serpents. So then there comes this great bronze serpent in the form of a crucified Jesus. It is Christ and His cross that saves. It is Christ alone through faith that saves. It is Him who is the object of our faith. For faith must have something to cling on to. Otherwise, it's nothing. And so it grasps, it clings on to Christ and to His cross. It grasps on to the light of the world that was sent to bring us out of the darkness. And so we believe, just like the Israelites in the wilderness, we believe that God will save us. We look to that cross there, high and lifted up, the greater bronze serpent, Jesus the Christ, given unto death for salvation of our bodies and souls. And yet the wonder, the beauty of it all is that our salvation does not end just with Jesus on the cross, for that cross must come to you, must be given to you. Otherwise, it's useless to you. The Israelites, they weren't just told to believe that in a few thousand years God would send His Son in order to forgive them and save them. What good would that be for them in the here and now, the then and there? God did not leave them there in the midst of the fiery deaths without the very thing needed to save them. And so they received salvation right there, forgiveness of sins right there in the wilderness, that their condemnation might be taken away, right there. God does not just tell the sinner to believe and then give them nothing to believe in. So for the Israelites, He gave them that bronze serpent, and through this bronze serpent, He gave them Christ, the forgiveness won on the cross, given back in time and space through that bronze serpent to them. God did not just promise a Messiah. He gave them salvation. He gave them that Messiah. He gave them His Son, who wouldn't become incarnate till thousands of years later. And so again, it is with us. Christ was lifted high up on that cross so that who would ever believe in Him would have eternal life. But this life, this light, isn't just glued there on that cross, needing our remembrance to travel back in time to receive it. It comes to us. The cross, it comes to us. In water and word, it comes to us. In bread and wine, it comes to us. You want salvation? Look to Jesus and His cross. And then receive Him when and where He's promised to give that salvation to you. The cross is here for you, given to you. Words of life spoken into your sinner's ears. Watery graves of baptism, so that you can bury your grumbling old Adam day after day after day. The bread of life come down from heaven, placed upon your tongues to eat and drink. Jesus Christ, the light who came into the world, He comes to you so that He might continually, over and over, bring you out of the darkness into His marvelous light, bring you salvation from each and every single one of your fiery serpents that tear into your flesh and threaten to kill you and destroy you and condemn you. He does this for you. A real cross. That sounds like gospel-y words of goodness. And a real cross for you that feels wet and watery. And a real cross for you that tastes of the heartiest bread and the best of wine. Okay, maybe not the heartiest of bread. Maybe not the best of wine. But you get my point. For in Jesus, there is no condemnation. Not in him. Not in his cross. He's the very one who was lifted up for you. His word and his sacraments, the cross brought to you, they're for you as well. In the name of Jesus.